الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم صدق الله العظيم سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الإيمان أفضل فقال الهجرة وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam. From the inception of the human being in this world, there is a, call it conflict or battle, which every human being is engaged in. However, this is such a conflict that it has already been predetermined. It is Allah's system. That this is one war and one conflict. It may be the great tyrants of the past. It may be great, great rulers. It may be people that had vast resources at their disposal. Or it may even have been the cream and the pride of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creations, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. However, this is one conflict that Allah has predetermined that no human being will be successful in. Vanquish and loss is predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this. The conflict that I am referring to is the conflict against time. We have not come to live in this world. The reality is we have come to die. The greatest human being, if it was possible that anyone would be victorious in this conflict, then surely Allah would have blessed His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with victory in this. Yet, like the poet puts it succinctly, لو كانت الدنيا تدوم لأهلها لَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِيهَا مُخَلَّدٌ If it was possible for anyone to be granted perpetuity, if it was possible for anyone to win this conflict against time, then surely Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have drunk from the cup of death. But Allah directly addresses His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, innaka mayyitun, innaka, verily you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will die, wa innahum mayyitun, and every one of them will die. This is the reality of our life, that we have not come to stay, we have come to go. Each one of us may be observing that clock, that tick, 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 that movement of time, inexorable, unstoppable. Yukawwiru al-layla ala al-nahar, yughshi al-layla al-nahar. Allah captures the essence of this in beautiful expressions in the Quran, where Allah says, day is wrapped up by night, night is wrapped up by day, day follows night, night follows day. And inexorably, like a block of ice that is melting in the sun, the seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years of our lives are slipping away. And the tragedy, the travesty that is facing every one of us is the reality of the value of time has not dawned upon us. You will still find people sitting hours and hours in front of that shaitan box, sometimes till 1-2 in the morning. You will still find people that will justify spending stupendous amounts of money to travel overseas to attend some exhibition, 22 people chasing behind a piece of pigskin. You will still find people outwardly that are dindar and righteous, sitting in front of frivolous novels, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, hours and hours wasted. And when the question is put that, bhai, kya kar rahe? What are you doing? What is the response? Main waqt ko guzar raha hu. I'm passing away the time. As if that time has no value. As if you are going to get it back. Allah does not need, many times I have mentioned this before, Allah does not need to take qasam and oath. Normally you and I, why we take qasam? Somebody might doubt what we are saying. Or we want to emphasize our speech. Or we want to convince someone about something. So we will take qasam and oath. Allah's kalam, Allah begins His kalam. La rayba fi, there is no doubt in this. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. Emphasis upon emphasis, this Quran is haq. What Allah says is haq, it cannot be doubted. To doubt it is kufr. So what is the need to take qasam? Why does Allah need to take qasam? Allah does not need to take qasam. This is His shafqat, His kindness, His compassion. How many qasams and oaths on time Allah takes? وَالْفَجْرِ by the oath of the day, by the oath of the dawn. وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ by the oath of the daybreak, as it takes a breath. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرْ by the oath of the night, as it passes. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى by the oath of the day, as it lights up. وَالْعَصْرِ by the oath of time. Different aspects of time, qasam, upon qasam, upon qasam. Not only time itself, but the portents of Allah's creation that bring time into existence. And by which time is measured, on them also Allah takes qasam. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا by the oath of the sun. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا by the oath of the moon. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَا by the oath of the stars. So many qasams and oaths. Why? To conscientize you and I. That understand not only is gold and silver valuable, not only is rands and dollars valuable, that excess wealth of yours, you can find a bank vault, find a safety deposit box. You want to hide from the receiver, hide it under the mattress. That wealth of yours, you can store it up. But which bank vault, which safety deposit box are you going to find to lock up time? How are you going to stop that tick, tick, tick of the clock? That day that has passed in your life, it's mentioned in the Asr, the day addresses insan, Yabna Adam, Inni khalqun jadeed, wa ana fima ta'amal fiya ghadan alayka shaheed, fa'amal fiya mastata'ata min khair, fa'inni in dhahabtu lan arji ilaykum abada. The day addresses insan, Yabna Adam, O insan. Inni khalqun jadeed, I am a new creation of Allah. One more day, one more chance, one more opportunity Allah has given you. Inni khalqun jadeed. But understand, I am an amanat. Allah has not set into place such a complex system. How many balances, counterbalances have to be found for this universe to subsist? I am sitting in front of you and breathing. Have you even considered just that one process? That that sigh, that breath. 6 or 7 billion human beings on the surface of the earth. The level of oxygen in the environment, 21%. This human being is breathing in and out. Average, a human being breathes in and out 20,000 times a day. 20,000 times a day. If you doubt it, take a tasbih one day and count. Subconsciously, you're breathing in and out. This diaphragm is working in order to draw what? Oxygen from the atmosphere inside you. The average human being consumes from the atmosphere 8,000 liters of oxygen every day. 7 billion, multiply, do the maths, 56 billion liters of oxygen taken out of the environment every day, yet still the level 21%. If it had to go up 2% to 23%, number of accidental fires would increase 700 times. Another 2%, besides the North Pole and the South Pole, everything in between would be burned to ashes. Allah keeps it constant 21%. Why? Because that is conducive for the respiratory system of this insan. What is inside the lungs? Recently was Eid al-Adha Qurbani. We may have seen the sheep lung. Human being lung looks similar. They said the right lung is slightly larger than the left lung. The two lungs together is a piece of flesh, meat. The weight is about 1.3 kilograms. Yet, in that lung Allah has kept 300 to 500 million air sacs. If the lungs have to be opened out, it will cover a distance of 2,400 kilometers. Just one piece of flesh in the body. How many different manner is Allah exhibiting His Qudrat and His power? 50 billion tubes transport 10,000 liters of blood every day to the lungs. Where did this intelligence come from? That in order to purify your blood, you need to give it a bath in oxygen. Did our fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers tell us? Did Darwin tell us? Beforehand, Allah put in such a system. How many balances, counterbalances have to be in place just for this one process to take place, for you and I to breathe in and out, so that each ah, each sigh, each breath that is coming out is shouting out, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. This is valuable. This carries value. It's not something to be wasted. That day calls out to you, وَأَنَا فِي مَا تَعْمَلْ فِيَّ غَدًا عَلَيْكَ شَهِيدٌ. Understand, know and understand, Allah has given you another chance, another day, another opportunity. Tomorrow, in Allah's court, I will be a witness in your favor, or a plaintiff against you, according to how you utilize me. Populate this day, utilize this time correctly. Like Hazrat Imam Al-Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, Ekhe waqt guzarna, ekhe waqt banana. One is to while away the time, one is to make the time. Waqt bante amal se. Time is made valuable through amal. He used to say, make your time valuable, your life will become valuable. Make your life valuable, your mouth will be valuable. فَإِنِّي إِنْ ذَهَبْتُ لَنْ أَرْجِعْ إِلَيْكُمْ أَبَدًا. How beautifully this day says, if you will not utilize me correctly, inni in dhahabtu, once I am gone, lan arji ilaykum abada, I am never coming back. You lose a job, you can get another job tomorrow. You lose some wealth today, you can make some more tomorrow. Some ni'mat bounty of this world is lost, you can recover it. But that time that is wasted, this is why we are encouraged, go to the Qabristan. Go to the graveyard, stand in front of those graves and visualize. Wallah, if they could speak to us, if they could speak to us, they would tell us the value of this life. They would tell us the value of being given a second chance, a second opportunity that you and I still have. Yet, unfortunately, the realization of the value of this is not there. Fudayl bin Ayaz, rahimahullah, he saw one person, elderly man. He asked him the question, Kam ata alaykum in umrik? My brother, tell me, how old are you? My brother, how old are you? This person responded, Sittu nasana. He said, I am 60 years of age. What was the response of this Allah wala? He looked at this man and he said, Mundu sitti nasana. Tasilu ila rabbik yushiku antasil. He says, my brother, for the last 60 years, you are on a journey. You are on a train of life. Don't you think the time to reach your destination has come closer? Is not each passing year a wake-up call? Is not each passing year a siren that should be going off? Such an influence of this environment on us, that each passing year today has become a cause of celebration. People are celebrating birthdays. People are celebrating New Year. Wallah, my respected brothers, these are not occasions for celebration. They are ibrat. They are a wake-up call. I always mention this. A few years ago, I went to one relative's house. He said, I just came back from a birthday party. How old was the person? He said, 60 years of age. Now think to yourself, how are you going to fit 60 candles on the cake? And then a 60-year-old man, nowadays with the type of habits people have, his respiratory system would be such, when he tries to blow out the 60 candles, whether he'll get blown out first or the candles will get blown out first, that also is doubtful. And yet we are celebrating. Why? Because our psychological masters today who have enslaved us, have dictated to us that this new year is a celebration. Birthday is a celebration. So blindly we celebrate. Allahu Akbar, my respected brothers, many of us may be wondering, what new year? It's not January. First of Muharram. Our new year is not December, January. We are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our Nabi has given us a calendar. Our new year is Muharram. And Allah has made it such that historically, Muharram has such beautiful examples of qurbani and sacrifice that was given for the deen of Allah, that wallah, if we will just revisit those examples, there is no opportunity to celebrate. They are examples to wake us up to the reality. This was the day, the first of Muharram, that personality, Allahu Akbar, it is said the galaxy of Sahaba were murid. Every one of them desired hidayat. There was one Sahabi who was murad. His hidayat was desired. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua. Allahumma izzal Islam bi ahad al amarain. O Allah, honor and strengthen Islam with one of the two Umars, Amr bin Hisham, Abu Jahl, or Umar bin Khattab. Allah accepted this dua in the haqq of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the result of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hidayat. He was lowered into the ground, occasion of Jummah, is too much, no opportunity to go into details, but sabak and lesson. That personality, Allah chose this month of Muharram to accept the ultimate qurbani and sacrifice of not just ordinary people, Ahl-e-Rasul, Ahl-e-Bayt, the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those personalities in whose veins flowed the blood of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those personalities who when they were in the cradle, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the basharat and glad tidings when he said, Sayyida, Shababi Ahl al-Jannah al-Hasan al-Husayn, radiyallahu anhuma, that the leaders of the youth of Jannat are my grandsons, Hasan and Husayn, radiyallahu anhuma. Sayyidina Husayn, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The heart-rending incident of Karbala. Who can hear that and his eyes still be dry? But what was the sabak? What was the lesson? Unfortunately, we have become an ummah that today we'll shed a few tears. There'll be a lot of majalis and gatherings where this incident will be recounted, but the sabak and the lesson behind it, that will go over our heads. Till next year, Muharram. Not one person makes tawbah. Not one person realizes what is the sabak behind that. It was a Friday, 61st year of Hijrah, 10th of Muharram. What a day Allah selected to accept this qurbani from the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time of salah came. Right hand side flag bearer Zuhair bin Qain. Left hand side flag bearer Habib bin Mutahhar. In the middle, his own brother Hussein bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Time of salah comes. Understand the circumstance. They were 72. The army that was facing them was 3,000 strong. The odds were immeasurable. Under such circumstances, by the time salah came, 20 had already become shaheed, only 52 remained. He sends Habib bin Mutahhar that go to Shimr Mal'un, tell him to halt the battle so that we can make salah. Halt the battle, why? So that we can make salah. And the youngster of today who is busy with, in college at the time of Salah. And he says that I didn't want to take the trouble of taking my shoes and socks out. Or that businessman that's busy in his business. Or that housewife that's busy in the shopping market, in the marketplace. Or for trivial, trivial excuses. When this great command of Allah of Salah, we turn our backs to, that Umar radiallahu ta'ala, after being stabbed in and out of consciousness, each time he would open his eyes, the first question he would ask, has the time of Salah come? We have become an ummah today. When faced with this reality, what we say? Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Allah is very forgiving, very merciful, so it's okay. It's okay to make that salah qaza. My respected brothers, what are we going to do with this tariqh and history of Muharram? What are we going to do with the incident of Karbala? Take it out of the history books. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't know Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Such a qurbani and sacrifice. Already his jannat was guaranteed, yet in that circumstance he did not allow the salah to become qada. What excuse do you and I have? That 26, when they refused to hold the battle, 26 faced the enemy while the other 26 made their salah. What type of salah that must have been? Someone with the blood flowing from his forehead. Someone with his hand cut off. Someone with his chest bleeding. Someone with his leg bleeding. Such a condition, 3 days their water had been cut off. Thirsty, they made wudu with the sand of Karbala. What type of sajda they must have made that by the asar of that day, every one of them had become shaheed. When that muazzin calls out that azan, and for some trivial excuse, we are not coming to the masjid, my respected brothers, that is the sabak. That is the lesson we are supposed to take. We say Muharram. Muharram, a new year has started. Look at the calendar. What does the calendar tell us? A-H. A-H, 1439, A-H. What does A-H mean? Is it just a coincidence? Something that just fell out of the sky? There is a sabak and a lesson behind that. A-H after Hijrah. What is Hijrat? What is Hijrat? In the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Islam started spreading far and wide. Sahaba felt the need to establish a calendar. Where must the calendar start from? Logically, where should it have started from? Sahaba started giving opinions. Mauludun Nabi, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that should be our calendar. Someone said Fateh Badr. Badr, what a victory, 313 against 1000, that should be the start of the calendar. Someone said Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, Islam, Raj had risen over Arabia and then throughout the entire world. That should have been the calendar. But Ali radiallahu anhu is silent. Umar turns to him, Ali, what is your opinion? Allahu Akbar, what does he say? Al-Hijrah. Al-Hijrah. Where should this calendar start from? From what? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dead of night. Enemy swords around the house. Sand taken, flung in their faces. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ Allah blind them. Quran is read. Dua is made. Hiding and leaving Makkah with the fear of mort in every direction. Ali says that is the point from which this calendar should start. To teach this ummah till Qiyamah that we are an ummah of hijrat. What was the foundation of Hijrat? Year in, year out. Year in, year out. Year in, year out in the plains of Mina and Arafat. The tribes of the Arabs would come. One solitary individual, person to person, tribe to tribe, 10 to 10. May you weeni, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. Who is going to shelter me? Who is going to become my helper for what? For dawat and tabligh, for the tabligh of this deen. Who will accept this band of Muslims? Allow them to make hijrat. Leave their homes and their families. For what? For dawat and tabligh. Understand the history of this ummah. How did this ummah come into existence? They beat him. They pelted him. They hurt him. They persecuted him. Mercilessly. Finally, like I said, there's no time to go into the details. Finally, one group. Abu al-Haysam bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Sa'd bin Rabi', As'ad bin Zurara, Abdullah bin Rawaha, and Haritha bin Nu'man, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Six people from Yathrib, which later became Medina Munawwara. The incident is detailed, I'm not going to go into the detail. They listen to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They accept Islam. They go back next year 12, next year 72, 70 men, 2 women. In Aqaba, in Mina, a bayat is about to take place. An oath of allegiance is about to take place, which will form the foundation of hijrat. Sahaba of Makkah will make hijrat. They will leave their homes. They will leave their birthplace. They will leave their professions. They will leave their livelihood. And in many instances, they will leave their families forever. And they will make hijrat to Medina Munawwara with one purpose only. May yawini, may yansurani, hatta ubaligha risalata rabbi. That the tabligh of this deen demands hijrat. Ansar of Medina will make their nusrat, the parable, an example of qurbani and sacrifice would be laid in the sands of time that will never be erased till qiyamah. What was the basis of this oath that was taken in Aqaba that led to the hijrat? Abbas bin Nazla warns them, 72 people. He gathers them of the Ansar of Medina and he warns them, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ عَلَى مَا تُبَايُونَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. Do you know what this hijrat entails? When you accept this Nabi, do you understand the ramifications of it? تُبَايُونَهُ عَلَى خَرْبِ الْأَحْمَرِ وَالْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا أُنْهِكَتْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ وَأَشْرَافُكُمْ قَتْلًا أَسْلَمْتُمُوهُ فَمِنَ الْآنِ فَهُوَ وَاللَّهِ خِزْيُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمْ وَافُونَ بِمَا دَعَوْتُمُوهُ إِلَيْهِ عَلَى نَهْكَةِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَقَتْلِ الْأَشْرَافِ فَخُذُوهُ فَهُوَ وَاللَّهِ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. What does he say? He says, listen, O people of Medina, this is not some hypothetical example of possibility. When you place your hand in the hand of this Nabi, understand that it is not a likelihood, it's not a chance, it's an absolute certainty. Your elderly people will be slaughtered. You will become poor. Your wives will become widows. Your children will become orphans. The streets of Medina will flow with your blood. This is an absolute certainty. So before you take this hijrat, understand that this is going to happen. Before you take this oath, understand the ramifications of what you are about to do. What does Abu al-Haysam bin Tayhan say? He turns around. Dana anka ya Abbas. Abbas, stop what you are doing. Stop trying to dissuade us. Ya Rasulullah, if we place our hand in your hand, what will happen? What will Allah give us? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah will give you Jannah. Allah will give you Jannah. What? He has one hesitate. One thing is causing to hesitate. What is that? He says, Ya Rasulullah, we accept you. Hijrat takes place. Allah uses that qurbani for Islam to spread. ثُمَّ أَظْهَرَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah establishes your deen on this earth. At that time, are you going to leave us and go back to Makkah? Will you leave us and go back to Makkah? What is the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَتَبَسَّمْ. He smiles. بَلِ الدَّمْ الدَّمْ وَالْهَدَمْ الْهَدَمْ أَنَا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مِنِّي أُحَارِبْ مَنْ حَارَبْتُمْ وَأُسَالِمْ مَنْ أَسَالَمْتُمْ. Allahu Akbar. Mera jina tere saath hai, mera marna tere saath hai. لو سلك الناس واديا وسلكت الانصار واديا لسلكت وادي الانصار. The whole humanity can go in one direction, and those who help my deen in this condition, they go in one direction, I will go in their direction. My living is with you and my dying is with you. When they hear this, one by one they take oath of allegiance in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave everything. On that, Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, our calendar must start. So that every year in Muharram, this ummah can be reminded that this deen came into existence through hijrat. Through qurbani, through sacrifice. May Allah fill the qabr of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi with noor. We are not asked to make permanent hijrat. Nowadays we are told 40 days, 4 months. We think like the sky has fallen on our heads. Where has this come from? It becomes strange to us. This was a daily part of the lives of Sahaba-e-Kiram. Hijrat for the sake of deen. If they sat in Medina, today you and I would not have been reciters of this kalima masjid. This ijtima that is going to start tomorrow, inshallah. From the time of Asr, inshallah, right on our doorstep. This ijtima is not to increase the membership of the Tabligh Jamaat. It's not to increase some organization, no. This ijtima is to take you and I, turn the clock back 14 centuries, introduce us for 48 hours to what the life in Madinah Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. To teach us the ghulami and the slavery of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So humble appeal is made. Muharram has come. People are, a new year has come. What we are told, make resolutions. Let every one of us make this resolution. That inshallah from now till we die, not one salah will become qada. Take the sabak of Muharram. Ya Allah, take the lesson. Hijrat. Ya Allah, accept us to make hijrat for your deen. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.